Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now it's sex therapy time.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
So as always, this is your little ears warning. And do remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show if you have to miss it live. So this week, it's time to talk about relationship breakups. So it's going to be a barrel of laughs, but we all face them at some time. So it's good to have some expert advice. So there are so many questions, and who better to ask than our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Rachel, how are you?
Oh, how's it going? I'm delighted we're chatting about this today. We've had loads of questions in and lots of people want to know what's going on with breakups. So fire them away.
I will. Absolutely. It's really, really tough. And I think after the pandemic and stuff as well, when people were sort of thrown together in, you know, with no way out basically for a year and a half, I think a lot of things became clear to people. So Rachel, right, first of all, what are the main reasons that people end romantic relationships, would you say?
Yeah. There are tons of them. I would say the main ones are that people fall out of love and don't know how to kind of come back from that. Not being able to have healthy conflict, that they don't communicate their needs and boundaries. So they end up feeling very kind of lonely and unappreciated and resentful in the relationship.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's that people have very conflicting attachment styles. So some people need a lot more contact and reassurance, and some people are more avoidant and they feel very suffocated by that. So when people don't have awareness of their attachment styles, that can be a big one. Then you have things like cheating, which is a huge one for sure. And then low self-awareness. You know, I think a lot of us just don't know what we want, or sometimes have like totally unsustainably high expectations of a partner to fill every role and need for them. So those are some of them. And then you also have the common ones like having very different values, needs and desires for the relationship. So it's just not compatible, you know, where maybe one person wants children and the other doesn't. Maybe very different approaches to money or sex. So those are the main ones.
And is it just a kind of like, you can boil it all down, I suppose, to communication, can't you? Like if you're not talking to each other about what it is that you're expecting or wanting or, you know, needing or whatever, it can kind of just boil it down to that in the end.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely a huge one. But then you've got some of the practical issues, which again comes down to communication, because sometimes people already know from conversations that they had early on and they're just avoiding it, that maybe, you know, one person wants to move in and the other person doesn't think that they want to do that anytime soon or ever. And so they're just avoiding having the conversation, because obviously you get very caught up in things when, you know, maybe the sex is great or you feel really good emotional connection, or you know, do great kind of activities together. You just really get on. So, it definitely does come down to communication. And, you know, because a lot of things are negotiable if you can really talk about them, and then the things that aren't, you're better to know as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
Rather than be kicking the can down the road for, you know, potentially months, years or even decades.
Yeah, 100%. There's like, that's an interesting thing as well, is like if people have doubts in their mind about their relationship, what are the signs that it's time to definitely call it a day rather than, you know, kind of hang in there?
So I would say there can be loads of upsides. As you said, sometimes there can be lots of really great aspects to a relationship that you're in. And obviously no one is going to be perfect, but it has to overall really add to your life. Otherwise, why would you bother? You know, life is short. Now, everyone gets to decide how much of the more challenging stuff they're willing to put up with. And each of us are going to have our particular set of things that we find easier to deal with than someone else. And those things that are more difficult. But I would say, you know, if someone is going through ongoing active addiction, that can be very, very difficult to deal with. And obviously it's, you know, awful when someone is experiencing that, but it can be just so, so harrowing for the partner if that is not really being addressed and, you know, things are kind of changing. And then I would say there's a lot of sort of contempt in the relationship. You know, John and Julie Gottman, they're the kind of world's most renowned relationship experts, who've been doing research for over, I think, 40 years now on you know, different kinds of relationships and long-term relationships and marriages. You know, they say that the main sign that the relationship is going to fail is when there's a, like, active contempt, you know, and that's where you're doing sort of like really nasty impersonations of each other, really mocking in a hurtful way, belittling, being very sort of dismissive in that way, and just kind of nasty basically. Now obviously people can be very sarcastic and mocking in a way that, especially for Irish people, is very common and can be, you know, a real way that we
connect. I was actually just thinking the amount of people that are just slag each other, and it's not like, I suppose it to maybe it's a culture cultural difference, I guess, but to someone else from a different country, it could come off as really mean. But it's, you know, I suppose if, you know, you're both got a similar sense of where the other is coming from, you know the difference between a harmless slag and a kind of something nastier.
Definitely. You have to be able to be sensitive enough to know if the other person has actually taken it personally and then know how to repair. You know, the problem in a lot of relationships is that people think that what they have to do is never have any kind of ruptures in the connection with each other. And that's not realistic. Mm. You know, realistically, that's going to be majorly avoidant if you're trying to never have conflict. It's more that you have to learn the skills, which aren't just kind of universal skills, although there are some that are pretty applicable to most relationships. Yeah. You have to learn the kind of language of repair with that particular person, and so that takes, you know, time and lots of discussion to be able to work out, like, do I need a bit of space after we've had an argument, or do I really want to try and sort it out right away and chat about it? Sometimes you're not going to be the same on that, so how do you compromise, how do you negotiate? And then other signs I would say are, obviously, if there's any kind of physical or sexual abuse in a relationship, get out. But also financial stuff, you know, there's, again, you're rarely going to find two people or however many are in the relationship together that have, like, perfectly aligned kind of ideas about finances and perfectly, you know, kind of similar or equal finances coming in and going out. But if you're finding that one person is really, you know, sort of not pulling their weight, or you're just communicating really badly about that, that is a really difficult one. And then obviously emotional stuff, emotional abuse, which can be much trickier to label and is very wise to kind of read up about, because it's also kind of, you know, can be, again, kind of specific to the relationship. There are things that are definitely count as emotional abuse, but also that's going to be sort of individual too.
Those are really important. It's so important to kind of, you know, there's stark differences between, you know, a relationship that you know, it needs to be over and a relationship that you might still be able to save, I guess. If you're the one who wants to, if you're in a relationship that you're no longer interested in being in, What and you want to end things and you've decided that, you know, you've maybe compromised as much as you can and stuff, and the bell has tolled, I guess, on the relationship. How can you be decent about it? What's the best way to go about that?
I would say, to start with, be very clear on your reasons within yourself. You know, ideally make sure you've already explored these with your partner. Of course, you're not obliged to stay in any relationship, but often I have couples coming to me, you know, or even if it's individuals who are in a relationship and I'm only working with one of them, but they haven't told their partner what's bothering them or what's not working for them, you know. And a lot of that can be down to social conditioning, you know, especially people conditioned as women, you know, we're afraid of upsetting the other person, we're afraid of making them angry, and, you know, for people of all genders, you know, we fear being dismissed or being invalidated, being, you know, ignored or judged and that sort of thing. So it can mean that people, again, tend towards avoiding, and so giving the other person an opportunity to change or to meet you better in the relationship is always a good idea. You know, I really recommend to nearly all couples to start having, it could be every 3 months, it could be every month, it could be fortnightly, maybe even weekly, but to set aside time to have a chat about how things are going in the relationship, even if it's only taking 5 minutes to just say, yeah, things are pretty good, you know, nothing particular to report this week.
Yeah.
Just creating the space for that, because often what happens is you can't find the time to do it, because that's when true. Things are good between you, you're like, why would I want to put a bad buzz on this? And when things are difficult, you don't want to add a burden of saying, hey, you know, if one of you is really stressed at work or something, that doesn't really feel like the time to go, oh, by the way, I'm really unhappy in our relationship as well.
Yeah, of course. Because, yeah, I suppose you don't want to, if it's a stress in your life already, you don't want to load extra stress on yourself by even bringing it up, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it can be incredibly difficult. So if you're doing all that, you're checking in. That sounds to me like, you know, things that would happen in a maybe longer term relationship. If you haven't been dating for long and, you know, and you want, and it's not working out for you and you know it's not going to go anywhere, what's the best way to approach that? Because obviously you don't have that kind of mutual understanding with each other if you've only sort of been dating for a little while. How do you end a relationship if you haven't been in it for that long?
Yeah, I think, again, be a bit same as if it's a, to some degree similar to when it's a longer term relationship. You know, be honest. Don't be patronizing. Ideally, don't do it over message where possible.
Yes.
Ideally, don't ever ghost anyone unless, of course, you know, if they have been abusive and really made you feel, you know, highly uncomfortable and unsafe, then, you know, maybe that's what you need to do. But otherwise, you know, sort of take responsibility for your part in whatever it is without doing a it's not you, it's me style of fob off. You know, you don't need to do that either. But, you know, if you've only been on, you know, maybe dating someone for a couple of months, or maybe you've only had one date.
Yeah.
You know, I think sending, you know, ideally, again, it would be in person. But if you've only had one date, you don't have to meet up to tell someone you don't want to see them again.
Fair. Yeah.
You can send them, you know, a respectful message just saying, hey, I didn't had a good time meeting you. And I'm not feeling the connection that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
It's you respectful, know, isn't really, it? Like, you know, it's just a mark of respect to another person who is also human. And also, you know, does have feelings and needs them to be acknowledged as well.
Exactly.
So we've talked about, you know, how to be respectful and be good about ending a relationship that you no longer want to be in. But what if you're the one, you know, getting dumped, for want of a better term? You know, if someone says to you, I'm not interested in being in this relationship anymore, what's the best way to handle, you know, getting dumped and taking care of yourself kind of in the aftermath of the whole thing?
Yeah, so our brains process breakups in a very similar way to how we process physical pain. So for many people, it can be absolute agony. Mm. And many of us feel a lot of shame and guilt about how much we're suffering and how long that suffering can last.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you add in the potential for maybe the relationship became quite toxic between you. And also if someone has a very anxious attachment style or disorganized attachment style, which is good to read up about, and past trauma, then it can be really horrific. Horrendous.
Mm.
So I would say, you know, really allowing yourself space and time to grieve and feel angry. Like, a relationship breakup is a kind of a death of sorts.
Yeah,
you know, it's
absolutely.
The death of a future together, of maybe fantasies or dreams you had, of things that you would do in your life or with that specific person.
The whole way your life was going to pan out is completely upended.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that might, you know, some people will spend time, really build fantasies. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with having a fantasy with someone. But sometimes we can become very attached to that. And so even if the signs are such that actually the other person isn't really into it, or, you know, they've broken up with us, they don't want to continue, or the things that we imagined that we had with them don't actually exist and never did, or they don't anymore and aren't going to return, that you just need to take time to really be, you know, gentle with yourself and take things slowly, and ideally manage, you know, the basics of kind of sleep, diet and exercise in the aftermath, when you're probably just going to want to hide away.
So that's interesting. And just on that, a lot of people, and I, you know, I've seen it happen myself, you know, their kind of instant reaction to a breakup will be to immediately get back on the horse again, because it's kind of, you know, maybe it's a distraction, or maybe it's something fun that they can do. You know, how long is there is there a hard and fast rule about how long you should wait until you date again?
No, there definitely isn't. It's a total myth that you have to wait a certain amount of time. I've heard all sorts of rules, like you should be, you know, not date anyone for at least half the time of how long the relationship lasted. Yeah, which, you know, if you've been, were with someone for 20 years, then that doesn't bode well for you.
Exactly.
But no, I would say, you know, some people really are just have more the kind of personality and constitution that it's just going to take them time to process, and they just sort of need to spend a bit more time without any romantic connections. Maybe they really want to invest themselves in kind of their friendships again and hobbies and stuff like that, and just spend time with themselves. And then for other people, you know, maybe in the relationship they had, you know, sort of already possibly abandoned their friends and felt quite lonely inside of that. And so it might be a great time to be really sociable, or even just to start dating. I don't think, in an ideal world, you'll be honest with other people who you're dating without needing to go into every gritty little detail of what went on in your past relationship. But, you know, it's a good idea to sort of be aware of where you're at emotionally. And then, you know, of course you can date as long as you're you're not being dishonest with people about, let's say, you know, that you're acting as though or saying that you're willing to get into a longer term relationship when you know that you have a lot of sort of processing still to do.
That's completely fair enough. It kind of answers my next question as well, which was going to be, what about like rebound sex and whether that's a good idea or a
just
bad idea?
Just be honest. It just would be absolutely fine if you know you're someone who tends to get really invested in people very quickly once you have sex, then you might want to take your time on that again, because you're just, you know, you might just throw yourself back into this cycle of never really processing stuff that's going on, and just that, you know, kind of basically baggage building up for you, which is going to come out in different in other ways.
Of course.
But if you're someone who finds that you can sort of not even necessarily detach, just that those things can be quite separate for you or don't affect you in that way, that absolutely you can go out and have sex with people, have hookups and enjoy that. Just be honest.
Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. Thanks so much for that. It's brilliant because it happens to so many people, and it's just, you get different answers everywhere. So it's brilliant to talk to you about that. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook, and she'll be back next week. If you've any questions for her, you can get in touch with the team 24/7 and jen@rte.ie. Rachel, thanks so much.
Talk to you soon.
We'll be back straight after these.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.